My heart was like lead. I was afraid something was going to happen, and I wished I hadn't spoken. He looked round for his hat. Then she spoke. "I'm going with Strickland, Dirk," she said. "I can't live with you any more." I tried to speak, but the words wouldn't come. Strickland didn't say anything. He went on whistling as though it had nothing to do with him. Strover stopped again and mopped his face. I kept quite still. I believed him now, and I was astounded. But all the same, I could not understand. Then he told me in a trembling voice, with the tears pouring down his cheeks, how he'd gone up to her, trying to take her in his arms, but she'd drawn away and begged him not to touch her. He implored her not to leave him. He told her how passionately he loved her, and reminded her of all the devotion he'd lavished upon her. He spoke to her of the happiness of their life. He was not angry with her. He did not reproach her. "Please let me go quietly, Dirk," she said at last. "Don't you understand that I love Strickland? Where he goes, I shall go." "But you must know that he'll never make you happy for your own sake. Don't go. You don't know what you've got to look forward to. It's your fault. You insisted on his coming here." He turned to Strickland. "Have mercy on her," he implored him. "You can't let her do anything so mad."
"She can do as she chooses," said Strickland. "She's not forced to come.